The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday of Advent comes from the prophecy of Isaiah, the second chapter. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall decide disputes for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is found in Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, the 13th chapter. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, like Marty said before, last week I said we were ending the previous church year. So today, Happy New Year! Yes! Woo! It's a new year. It's a new season. We, of course, are decorated for the new year here, clearly. Our Advent decorations are up at the beginning of our church year. And the beginning of our church year is this new and exciting thing. We get to start reading from the Gospel of Matthew, and we get to hear the same stories we've heard before, told in a different way, in a different light, and in a different time. We get to hear the gospel message in the same fashion it's been shared, not just here in the past few years, but since the gospel was first shared. Today we get to join in the same understanding, the same belief that the Christian church has had since before it was even called the Christian church. Since before Christ had even come. In Isaiah chapter 2, verse 5, we heard, O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. We get to hear the same gospel lesson that's been shared even since the days of Isaiah. We get to walk in the light of the Lord. We get to walk up to his holy mountain. We have that beautiful picture there on the screen behind me or in your bulletins. Can you imagine what it is to walk up to the mountain of the Lord, this holy mountain? You know, I have the great opportunity of having traveled all over the U.S. I've hit many of the states. The sticker on the back of our car used to have it all marked off in Sharpie, all the different places we traveled to in that gray van. The Sharpie is faded, so we're kind of forgetting which ones that we've all hit, at least when we look at the sticker. But we've been all over. I would say, you know, a phrase I used to use, all over heck and half of Georgia. Except I don't think we hit Georgia, so it's okay. And we also haven't, driven to heck either. It was really hot, though, a couple times. We've been all over the states. We've seen different sites. We've seen different hills and different mountains. And it was fun to be out here on my vicarage when I got placed in the Dalles just 2.5 years ago. I started there. And at the same time, a vicar, so someone who's studying to be a pastor and gets an internship year, was placed at Redeemer Lutheran here in Gresham, just north of us. Good friend of ours. And he had not been out this way before. He had not been out to where there were real mountains. He was from the Midwest, and I tell you, if you've not seen large mountains before, and then you look out on a clear day and you see Mount Hood as you're leaving the airport, I was impressed, and I was excited to see it. I can only imagine. Except he didn't fly, he drove, and so did we. But driving in, you could see it, this beautiful, large mountain shining forth. If you've not seen such large mountains, it'd be amazing. The same is true then for not just mountains like Mount Hood that are beautiful and shining white with snow year-round, seemingly. But consider what it would be to call that mountain just a hill, just a low-lying hill. When the mountain of the Lord would be raised up greater than any other. For those who have seen many good mountains, those who have experienced what this height can look like, for those to be called hills, to look up and to see the city of God shining forth atop his holy mountain, holy Zion. That is a pretty amazing image. And so I don't know how you would make that look in a picture or a painting, but that's a pretty decent job there. I'm picturing off to the left, maybe we got, you know, Mount Fuji, maybe Mount Hood's over here on the right, I don't know. God's holy mountain is far greater than any of that. And it's not a mountain just of physical nature. You see, throughout the Old Testament especially, and even in the New Testament, God continues to meet his people on the top of mountains. My favorite image of this is Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's not like the name, like you go put it in your Google Maps, travel to Mount of Transfiguration. But up on the mountain when Christ was transfigured and shone forth in his glory, radiant glory, making it a holy mountain. You picture Moses up on the mountain receiving, on Mount Sinai, receiving God's law. When everyone looked up and it was in fear and trembling because there were storm clouds up there and he's gone so long in this middle of this deep, dark storm at the top of this mountain, they assumed he was just dead. Like, well, I guess we have to figure out how to move on without Moses for a little while. When God meets people at the top of the mountain, it is amazing. It's wonderful. It's awe-inspiring. When we see God coming, it will be amazing. And so as we look forward to this day when he would come, when we would see Christ coming a second time, that's what the season of Advent is all about, looking forward to that day. As we look for it, we still have this same lesson from Isaiah. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Earlier, it talked about how we would all flow with the nations. This is in verse 2 here of Isaiah chapter 2. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. There's a lot to unpack from that verse. There will be a time, it shall come to pass, when this mountain will be raised up and it will be the place that we will all see and all the people, all the nations shall flow to it. Isaiah is preaching to people who have not seen or read about what the Messiah would ultimately come and do. We live in a time knowing what Jesus has come to do for us. We have heard and seen that Our sins are forgiven in Jesus. Isaiah is telling people there is a day coming when this amazing thing will happen. This mountain is going to be raised up. Something glorious and exciting that people will just want to naturally go to. It'll draw them in. They'll hear about what's up on the mountain. They'll want to go and they'll want to see, what is it? Is it for me? I don't know, but I want to find out. And we know this is for all people. Isaiah is preaching this to Jewish people, to God's chosen people. And he uses a word that to us, we're like, oh yeah, all the nations are going to go there because we live after Jesus has come and said God's people are different. But the word used in Hebrew is all the goy, all the people of the nations will come. And that word goy has got a kind of a dirty tone to it, actually. All the nations, all those other people that are not even God's people, all the ones who don't follow his law, all those not chosen ones, they will all be flowing to it with us. Not just drawn to it, but flowing like a rushing river up the mountain. We see all these really amazing waterfalls here of water flowing off the mountain. I've seen some pretty cool things here. I've not yet seen an upward waterfall going up the mountain before, but this idea of the nations, all of us flowing up this mountain, coming to see just what God has done, just what amazing thing is happening. Isaiah is saying that will come. And the neat thing for us is, even in Advent, as we're talking about Jesus' second coming, this is already past. It shall come to pass that the nations will be flowing towards this holy mountain. We're in that time. It's so hard because a lot of times when we hear prophecies in the Old Testament, a lot of times there is a first time this prophecy is happening and a vision of the second time it will happen again. This is a prophecy, though, that has already taken place. Jesus Christ has already come and defeated sin, death, and the devil on Golgotha, on a different mountain, one that was not very large, a hill by any other means. But on that hill where Jesus died, where he was lifted up on a tree, where your sins and my sins were paid for in his death, in his blood, that hill became a giant, majestic, shining example to the whole world of God's great glory, his great love for you and for me. From Jesus Christ's death, a holy city was raised up on a holy mountain. God came to his people. And now we flow towards him. The reason we have the cross so prevalent in our churches, the reason we wear them, I don't always wear this shiny silver one on a Monday through Saturday, just on Sunday. Whenever we happen to have this cross before us, it's to remind us of that holy mountain that we are flowing upwards to. We continue to walk in the light of the Lord. We continue to walk trying to see more. What is this thing? What is this great thing God has done for us? As we walk up that hill, as we flow with all the nations, we look to the cross, we look to God's glory and to his love for you and for me. And so as Marty said, I don't know what else you say more than that. Happy New Year. Keep on walking. Keep on trucking. Love God and love others. That's what Jesus said, right? Love God before all else and love your neighbor as yourself. Keep on walking. Keep your eyes fixed on that hill, on what Christ has done for you. And keep sharing the same gospel lesson that's been shared time and time again. This new year, how's the old saying going? Second verse, same as the first. We're doing the exact same thing again. Telling people that Christ has died for you and for me. Another thing to share from that Isaiah reading, specifically about that idea that we are sharing the same old thing. Same exciting old thing. I apologize. As we are looking forward to the day that this would all happen as we're walking and flowing towards this great and glorious city. We have verse 4 that stands out as kind of an interesting one. I told you this has already happened, right? The hill has already been died on. It's already become this glorious thing, this giant mountain of God's great glory. And we hear in verse 4 of Isaiah chapter 2, he shall judge between the nations. He shall decide disputes for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Well, that hasn't happened yet. Nation not rising up against nation. If anything, our nations seem to do a better job of causing more trouble with other nations, inciting more violence. And so we are in a funny in-between. We know that Christ has already done all that is needed for our salvation, and we are just walking towards that, flowing in that ever-flowing stream towards the cross. And we look forward to the day when there would indeed be no more fighting, no more war. You can imagine Isaiah saying this to his people. There will be a day. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be wonderful. We'll be flowing towards God. Everyone will be at peace. We're doing this together. There's going to be no more war. And if you know anything about Isaiah, he's preaching to people who are about to be taken into captivity because of war. He's saying there will be a day when this too is all going to go away. War and hatred and destruction. So, indeed, this is like every other prophecy we keep hearing about. We see that there's a time where it is fulfilled and then a time where it will be fulfilled fully. Fulfilled fully. Say that 5 times fast. I couldn't say it once. We look forward to the day when we will make it to the top of this holy mountain, not by any means of our own. We just keep walking, and he keeps sending us in the stream further up. Until then, we trust in this true prophecy, this true promise. There will be a day with no more fighting, no more hatred, no more war. Until then, we live in the light of Christ, who says, you're following me. You're a part of my kingdom. No matter what nation may do against nation, no matter what one person might do against another, their neighbor or their own family member, you're to love God and to love one another as yourself. We live in a time knowing that there is something better that's already happened. And yet we still live in a sin-filled world. So with our Advent season, not just looking towards what God will do with a Savior, as we know that there is a mountain we're looking towards, a mountain we're climbing towards, one that we continue to make our way forward towards, to see God's glory. We do so sharing his light and his glory with other people. The season of Advent, we have all these extra lights. We have our Advent wreath, which will only get brighter and brighter as we get closer to Christmas time with more candles lit. It's always fun when you have your own Advent wreath at home. We have these little tiny candles that are not wax filled or that are not filled with oil. They get real burned down. Like, well, I need to start shifting which candle I'm using this week. Otherwise, that first purple candle is not going to make it all the way to Christmas. But the light keeps growing and we keep moving forward towards Christmas Day, where we celebrate that Christ has come and Christ will come again. We've said that a few times here at church. The same truth that Jesus died, he rose again from the dead. That started in Jerusalem. That started with what we heard in today's readings. That same gospel that would go out from Jerusalem. It goes out every day. The word continues to spread throughout all the nations. All the goy, all of us, all the people are gathered together to walk up God's holy mountain. Someday, all the other hills will be laid low. Everything else will be gone. All that will be left is God and his people on his holy mountain when he calls us to himself, when Christ would come again to make us fully in his glory, fully seeing his presence. No more war, no more hatred, no more suffering, no more darkness. Just the light and the glory of God in his holy city, on his holy mountain. That's what we look forward to in this Advent season. That's what we look forward to every day and every year until it should come to pass that we too would be at the top of that mountain. And until that day, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again.
Hallelujah.
And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.